When a believer is out of the will of God, he or she becomes a troublemaker and not a peacemaker. Now, we have to remember here as we look at the book of James that James is writing to the church. He's writing to the believers, but something has transpired. Hypocrisy has crept into the church. And he's reminding the believers how to live their lives. Check out verse 1, it says, beginning of the verse, it says, and this is a question to the church. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? He's asking this question to them. Well, he actually answered the question in the previous chapter. If you look at verse 16, it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Envy, self-seeking, selfishness. This is what brings us to war, not only with God, but war against ourselves. I was on the internet the other night, and I pulled up a couple stories pertaining to envy. Now, the first couple of them I thought were pretty humorous. There's a woman, her name is Karen Giacomai, she's 20 years old, that was arrested in Lake City, Florida for robbing a Howard Johnson motel. She was armed with an electric chainsaw that was not plugged in. Here's another story. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome park in a Seattle street, he got much more than he could bargain for. Police arrived at the scene and found the man ill, curled up next to the motorhome near the spilled sewage. Police spokesman said that the man admitted trying to steal the gasoline and plugged his hose into the motorhome sewage tank by mistake. The owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying, that was the best laugh I ever had. Here's another one. A man successfully broke into a bank's basement through a street-level window, cutting himself up pretty badly in the process. He then realized, number one, he could not get to the money from where he was located. Two, he could not climb back through the window, which he had entered. And three, he was bleeding pretty badly, so he dialed 911. What's not so funny is these next couple of excerpts that I'm going to talk about. Leo Wilson, Jr., 16, was shot to death for his Nike sneakers and his satin sports jacket. Police say, or how about this one? A Wheatley High School junior, Adam Smith Joseph, 18 years old, gave haircuts to the neighborhood kids to earn money, enough money to buy his $125 Nike athletic shoes last week. Saturday night, staring down the barrel of a 9mm on a Houston street, he handed over his prized possessions to two robbers who fatally shot him anyway. Envy. What will it drive a person to do? I want to take a look how envy affected a few people's lives in the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. And in the process, picking up in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Envy cripples our ability to examine ourselves. That's the title of my message, The Crippling Effects of Envy. We all know the story of Cain and Abel. God accepted the offering given by Abel, but rejected the offering given by Cain. And it also made him very angry to the point where he started to stew and boil in Cain's heart. And God warns Cain here of this brooding emotion. But instead of heeding God's warning and examining himself, Cain let the envy consume him until he killed his brother Abel. I like what you've got. I don't like the fact that you have it and I want it. That's envy. That's what envy will do to a person. How many of us have said, I think we're all guilty for this, how come God answers their prayers and not mine? And just like that, envy has planted seed in our hearts. Let's look at another story here. Turn with me to chapter 37 of Genesis as well. Envy cripples our security. Envy cripples our trust in God. Picking up in chapter 3 verse 3 of chapter 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son in his old age. Also he made a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Drop down to verse 11. And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. One of the saddest things that happens to a person is when their envy leads them to be insecure. With envy, you start taking things into your own hands and not allowing God to control things in your lives. Envy puts a strain on your relationship with your family, with your friends. Here, in this situation, envy put a strain between Joseph and his brothers and among the brothers themselves, which also related into their father, Jacob. The burden was only broken with the willingness of Joseph in time to forgive them many years later. Envy leads to a bitterness in talk and an abruptness in our actions. It leads to backbiting. It leads to gossiping and slander. Envy can take you from being a close friend to a bitter enemy. It can break up families, tear apart churches. Envy will cause a person to have a divided mind. They will not be able to focus clearly. In fact, you will be distracted. Let's go back to James. The second half of verse 1. Do they not come from your desires for your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You do not check this out. In the second half of that verse, it says, Do they not come from the desires of your pleasure that war against your members? People who are at war with themselves because of selfish desires are unhappy people. They never enjoy life. Instead of being thankful for the blessings God has given them, they complain. They complain about, Lord, you haven't given me this and you haven't given me that. Verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we use prayer as a cloak to hide our true desires. But I prayed about it, Lord. Can be one of the biggest excuses that a Christian can make. Instead of seeking God's will, you're telling God what he's supposed to do. And I know we're all guilty of this. All of us are. And we get angry at him. And eventually it spills over to anger to those around us. I liked what Psalms 133. You guys don't have to turn there. I'll read it. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. Unity. That's what God wants in the Christians' lives. He wants unity in our mind, in our emotions, and the will to work together. Unity. That's what God desires from all of us. To be united. To not have any conflict in our lives. Verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, a Christian gets involved with the world gradually. We don't wake up one day saying, I think I'm going to be a drug addict or an alcoholic, or I think I'm going to have an affair and ruin my marriage. It's a gradual process. First is the friendship. This results in being spotted by the world. Check out what James says about that. James 1:27. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The world wants to spot the Christian and start to defile him. And if we're not careful, we'll become conformed to this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Lot is a good illustration of that. He pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Sodom moved into him. And it cost him everything. It cost him his testimony. It cost him his family. He lost everything. The book of James, when I read the book of James as James is speaking to the church, I get truly convicted. I read this book and this is telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And James, in this first part of this book, is talking about the Word of God. Abraham separated himself from Lot. And he had a great ministry. Here's the thing. It's not necessary for a Christian to get involved with the world to have a ministry in the world. Let me repeat that. It is not necessary for a Christian to get involved with the world to have a ministry in the world. Jesus was unspotted. 1 Peter 1:19. And yet he was a friend to the tax collector, to the sinners. The best way that we can minister to the needs of this world is to be pure and undefiled from this world. That's the best way that we can minister. Picking up in verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Listen, Satan's desire is for us to depend on ourselves. That's his desire. Satan was Lucifer. What happened to Satan? It was pride that caused him to fall. That's his desire to put in our heads. He wants to depend on ourselves and not on the Lord. Once we start doing that, look out. We're going to fall. Just like Satan did. But God says here, God wants us to depend on his grace. What did the Apostle Paul say? His grace is sufficient in everything we do in life. When Jesus was on that cross and he said, it is finished, that was the grace that he gave us. That's all we need, folks. That's it. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I was thinking about the essence of sin is selfishness. Eve disobeyed God because why? She wanted to be as wise as God. Abraham selfishly lied about his wife Sarah because he was fearful he was going to be killed. Achan caused a defeat in Israel because he selfishly took the loot that was forbidden from the ruins of Jericho. Man, I'll tell you, selfishness, envy, self-seeking. But this is what God is telling us to do. Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded is somebody that is living a dual life, a person filled with hypocrisy. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Speaking of humble, there is a man in Psalms 51:17. His name is King David. We all know who King David is. Listen to what he has to say about that. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh, these, God, you will not despise. Sometimes a believer says, humble me, God. And that's a dangerous thing to pray. Far be it we humble ourselves before God humbles us. We confess our sins. And we turn from them. Now, if we obey these instructions, if we draw near, he will cleanse us and forgive us. And the wars will cease in our lives. We will not be at war with God, so we will not be at war with others. We must put the government of our life on his shoulders and let him become the Prince of Peace in our life. That's Isaiah 9:6. Verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of the brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, who is one lawgiver? There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? There's a question mark there. He's asking them, who are you to judge another? Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? Ah, the uncertainty of life. This is what James is talking about. Proverbs. I love going through Proverbs. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. These businessmen here, in verse 13, were making plans a whole year in advance when they didn't even know what one day was going to happen the next. See how confident they were? Do we take life for granted? It's not guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. I can remember as a teenager, I had numerous friends die as a teenager. in different situations. A couple of them I was really close to. A couple more acquaintances. But the ones that I were really close to, it really tore me up. I remember down here where Walmart is, that whole area, Walmart, where the old Kmart was, that used to be a big lake when I was in school, high school. And I had a friend, his name was John Torres. We were in ninth grade. We ran track together. And we hung out Friday. Next day, he drowned in that lake. I remember that. That really hurt me. Another time I can remember, I had a friend of mine. His name was Reyes Hernandez. He lived on the same block that I did. We played football out in the street. We played baseball out in the street. He was a couple years older than me. And he got drafted to Vietnam. And I remember the last time we talked, he said, Chuck, he says, my tour is only supposed to be for about a year, and I'll see you when you get back. Well, about 3 months into his tour, he was blown up by a landmine. Nothing's promised. Nothing's promised, folks. Since life is so brief, we can't afford to merely spend our lives. And we certainly do not want to waste our lives. We must invest our lives in those things that are eternal. There's a song by Toby Mac that ends, "And may it be, Lord, that when I wake up and lay down, your kingdom be." That's what he says in the song. That's how he ends the song. Is that what we desire and we pray for every day? Is, Lord, your kingdom be in our life? It says here in verse 17, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. You know, Linda and I were talking about the other day, and we're only a couple years out from retiring. And I can remember the two of us years ago talking about, one of these days we're going to retire. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And as we're getting to that point, our plans have changed. We want to serve the Lord in everything we do. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's about serving God wherever God has us to go. That's what we want. If it's His will. The uncertainty of life. You know, As we get older, God willing, we're maturing in our relationship with the Lord. As we're reading His Word and And God is speaking to us through his word. And we're fellowshipping with other believers. And our perspective of life should be changing. Should be changing to glorify God. It says here in verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And boasting is a form of pride. We can't boast, folks. We can't boast about anything. Everything is a gift from God. The breath that we're taking right now is a gift from God. Nothing is promised. Look at verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's disobeying God's voice. When you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to go this way or do this or that, and you disobey the Holy Spirit, you're going to fall out of God's will. And that's not a good place to be. James doesn't pull any punches. I like James. He reminds me of the Apostle Paul. He tells you straightforward. He tells you just like it is. This is the way it is. And here, this is exactly what he's telling us. I hope each and every one of you are convicted, because I am. I truly am. Every time I read James, whether it's chapter 1 or chapter 5, I'm convicted. Because we fall short in these areas. You know, I was just thinking the other day, they had a $355 million mega lottery. I'm sure you guys heard about that. Two tickets won. I'm sure the majority of people that played that throughout the United States said the next day, oh, well, it wasn't me. But I bet you there's people that it's tearing them apart even now. They're saying, why wasn't it me? Why not me? It's eating inside of them. Envy. It comes in all shapes and it comes in all forms, but it's there. It's there in our lives. Message. It's a good reminder. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and God, we ask, God, that you would, Lord, help us to change, Lord. If there's any gray areas in our life, Father, I pray, Lord, that Lord, that we would repent and change directions. God, give us a changed heart. Give us a heart that is of you, Father. Lord, help us to be content with your grace. God, you gave us your Son. who was broken for us, for our sins. Who was despised and shamed and ridiculed because you love us so much. You love us unconditionally. That's what grace is. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to really examine our hearts now. Thank you for your message, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for James, Father, who was willing to not hold anything back, but to tell it just like it is. We lift this up to you now, in Jesus' name.